Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, listeners, it's your pal, Dr. Nanika Kaur from the Project Parenthood podcast. I'm taking a week off from the world of parent-child relationships, but I wanted to share an incredible episode of another podcast here on Quick and Dirty Tips called Curious State. Curious State is all about uncovering the unexpected answers to ungoogleable questions. This episode asks the questions, what's it like in the Pixar's writing room? If you or your child is obsessed with Pixar movies, you're going to love this episode. And if you do, you can subscribe to Curious State wherever you're listening to me right now. Okay, here's Curious State, and I'll see you next week.
Great stories have a few things in common: emotional connection, progressive complications, and a resolution that sticks in your memory. With the countless methods of opening a story, some of my favorites start the exact same way. My parents, my three brothers, and I, we all went to a little movie theater in Springfield, Illinois. That's when I heard that sound for the first time. And since then, that sound has tied balloons to my imagination.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Connected me back to my inner self.
Until she gets back, we just do what Joy would do.
Great idea. Anger, fear, disgust. How are we supposed to be happy?
And made me cheer for a trash-compacting robot. But above all, that sound has instilled a Pavlovian response in me. When I hear it, I know what's coming next. I am about to feel something.
Nemo!
But getting an impactful story to fall into place comes with some big challenges, ones Pixar writers have to creatively spar with every day. And often, those challenges hit back.
The story fixes that needed to be solved, especially with the main character, ended up turning into a bigger problem. They thought that the studio was going to come to an end because the film got shut down.
I'm Doug Fraser. And this is Curious State. The writer's room feels like such a top-tier place to be when it comes to the Pixar idea, at least for me anyway. But you didn't start there. How did you start at Pixar?
Well, the very beginning was, I've got to think back now.
This is the story of Matthew.
My name is Matthew Lunn, and I am a filmmaker, which really means I'm a storyteller.
For two decades, Matthew honed his storytelling skills at Pixar. But before he was there, he started in a bit of a different kind of storytelling. Matthew was in his first year of college when he started working as an animator on The Simpsons. At the young age of 19, the writer's room there changed him. Legends like Conan O'Brien were able to make people laugh and cry through not just jokes, but stories. These writers could make people feel something. And so began Matthew's love for storytelling. Then, he got a call from Pixar, which at the time was just a small little startup.
They had seen one of my short films that I made at the college I went to, the California Institute of the Arts, CalArts in LA. And they liked it and they asked me if I wanted to come in to be able to hear a pitch for a film they wanted to make. Now, Pixar was only made up of, 50 people, 60 people. And I went into a room with Steve Jobs, the director of animation, and the writer and the director of the film. And they pitched me the idea for Toy Story.
Hey, wow!
What? What is it?
Woody! Buzz!
Oh, great. You found them. Where were they?
Here in the car!
See? Now, what did I tell you? Right where you left them.
And I was so moved that I did leave my job at The Simpsons, or what I should say is I did not return for the fourth year of The Simpsons. And I took the job at Pixar as, you know, one of the first 12 guinea pigs to learn how to animate on a computer.
Wow. So that first pitch of Toy Story versus the final product, were they in the same ballpark?
They were pretty close. You know, it's really great when you can pitch an idea, even for a 90-minute film, in a couple of minutes, and it's pretty close to what the final story is about. You know, we usually call that the controlling idea or the elevator pitch. Can you pretty much in one sentence wrap up what your film is about? You know, we usually do that in the trailers for movies, right? In a world. And so I was moved by the story and also the idea that this would be the first CG animated film. And it wasn't going to be the normal animated film with a fairy tale village and a princess and a prince and the musical numbers. It was going to be something completely different. And I think it was those things that really inspired me to go, okay, this is a startup company, but I want to be a part of this.
Unfortunately, there were problems.
So for Toy Story, as a whole, the film was working. But there were parts of the film that needed to be improved. And one of the big ones was Woody's character arc. In the beginning, Woody was definitely more angsty and mean and maybe even not likable. And so that was one of the big notes that they were trying to address. But what we did was we animated all the other shots that didn't have Woody in it.
Ah.
So when I came on, the very first shots I got to animate were the army men, soldiers, that are setting out on their mission to see what's in those presents.
We are at Code Red. Recon plan, Charlie. Execute. Let's move, 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 move.
I remember seeing this footage when I was on vacation with my family. We were in a Florida mall somewhere in the food court, and my six-year-old brain exploded. The green army men's lips were moving. Their feet are connected by this plastic little base, so they waddled one foot in front of the other, just like when I made them walk.
Okay, come on, kids.
And then they jumped off the friggin' banister, and their parachutes open? Are you kidding me?
Other than the very first shot with Woody talking to the sergeant, which I did that shot, animated that shot, there's really no other characters. So that keeps all the animators busy while the story department is still trying to figure out, oh my gosh, how do we fix this thing? This is pretty common that you will have animation starting to happen and there is parts of the story they're trying to be fixed. But I would say in this situation, the story fixes that needed to be solved, especially with the main character, ended up turning into a bigger problem.
There's a snake in my boot.
It turns out old Woody was too big for his stirrups. He was mean and crass and just a real jerkwad. And now here's some audio from what's called the Black Friday reel. And it's called that because it's the reel they showed on Black Friday. You know, when they showed it, it caused quite an uproar and actually led to the whole needing to fix the script boondoggle. Let me set the scene for you. Woody just tossed Buzz out the window, and the toys are now rallying against Woody. The first toy you'll hear speak is the temporary voice for Slinky Dog.
I have to agree with them. I don't think what you did was right.
What? Am I hearing correctly? You don't think I was right? Who said your job was to think, Spring Wiener?
Well, I just thought that you...
Just use this vast reserve of brain power to consider this for a moment. If it wasn't for me, Andy wouldn't pay any attention to you at all. In fact, my stretchy friend, you would have been hauled away to Goodwill a long time ago, so shut your mouth and get them off the bed!
Working as an animator on Toy Story, it was fun. I won't lie. It was fun. But this was really the time where I got to see how a story gets built at a place like Pixar. This isn't the way it is at every studio. For a lot of studios, Steven Spielberg might read a book and say, wow, I love that book about that shark that eats people, or, you know, a dinosaur park, and say, I want to make a film out of that. But see, the films that we created at Pixar, they were never based on a book. Everything came from just our own personal experiences, things we were passionate about.
These stories often started and grew in one room at Pixar. Matthew walked by that room often, hearing the laughter, the fun, the excitement. This was the writer's room, the birthplace of protagonists we hold dear to our hearts. This music is my and villains we love to hate.
Let's go home and play.
It's where characters are built, taken apart, and rebuilt again. Where the alternating highs and lows, the roller coaster structure that makes up a captivating story, are welded together. On a hero's journey from order to chaos and back again, the writing room is the starting line.
And so when I got to see that firsthand, or that first time, of how these stories were being developed, that was the light bulb moment for me. I knew, okay, I gotta get into that room somehow.
How'd you get in there?
Well, fortunately, the company was small and Toy Story hadn't come out yet. So it wasn't the Pixar that we think of today. Everybody was still driving, beat up crappy cars, sleeping on a couch or under their desk, working long hours. It was a much different place at the time. And so they said to me, as long as you get your animation done, we would love to have your help in the story department. If you want to come in on the weekends and help us, hey, man, we'll love it. Do it. And, I'm not married. I don't have kids. So pretty much I animated during the day, and then I helped out in any way I could with the story team in the evenings and on the weekends. And I did it because I loved it. But I was also thinking to myself, I hope I can work myself into this group one day.
Just as soon as the dream was taking flight, it was grounded. Matthew and the rest of the animators were told to come back in 3 months when the writers had the story figured out.
Well, the 3 months turned into more and more, and it took a lot longer for it to get fixed. I mean, everything was pretty much shut down. And there was a lot of meetings with the Disney execs of trying to figure out what's going to be the plan. Is this even going to happen? All of Pixar's existence going forward hinged on this moment. And I waited to see what was going to happen next.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. you get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So, Matthew's dream of working in the Pixar writer's room was put on hold, and that gave him some time to think. How did he want the story of his own life to play out?
While I was waiting, more and more it became clear to me that what I really want to work on is the story stuff. And I love to animate, but I was really thinking to myself, when I get back, it really would be nice if I got moved into the story department instead. But I didn't know how I would convince them to do that. In the meantime, I was like, hey, I want to get better at storytelling. So I was taking freelance story jobs during this period of time at very obscure small animation commercial studios in San Francisco.
After about 8 months of freelancing, Matthew got a call from Pete Docter,
who was the animation supervisor on Toy Story. He said, Matthew, we're all ready to go. We're ready. We want you to come back. Can you, start on Monday? And Pete was also a good friend of mine. He still is. And I just said, Pete, I really want to work on the story stuff. I'm so passionate about storytelling. Is there an opportunity for me there? And he said, not now, because we've got to animate this film, and we have other films in development. But if we don't make this film work, we're not going to end up developing anything else. And so I said, I think I'm going to wait until there's a story position available. I'm going to pass on the animation job. I basically wanted him to know how passionate I was about wanting to get in the story department. And I think he was shocked, but appreciated it, that I was honest with him.
While Woody and friends continued working out their story troubles, Matt waited. Every few months, he'd send over new projects he was working on. He wanted to stay on their radar and show off story-related work he'd been doing.
And then it wasn't until Toy Story 2 came, when it was going to start being developed, that I did get a call. Thank God.
To infinity and beyond.
I seriously felt like I made the biggest mistake of my life by turning down that opportunity, but it paid off, because then they ended up contacting me saying, Toy Story was great, people loved it, they want more, and we want to develop a Toy Story 2, and we'd like for you to come in and be part of that story team. And obviously I said yes. This was during the period of time where the Disney company decided to start making sequels to all of their films. Little Mermaid 2, Aladdin 2, Lady and the Tramp 2, whatever they could put it to after. And they were just doing direct-to-videos, putting them on VHS and selling them in supermarkets. Basically kind of babysitting material, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they were going to do with Toy Story 2. But I saw it as, at least this is an opportunity for me to get better as a storyteller and get back into Pixar. And we had a very small team and of storytellers, and no one was really watching us. Bug's life was like in production.
Oh! A bee! I am a cute little bumblebee! Ah! Here I come!
So we just started putting in there whatever we thought was hilarious and moving and funny. And it kept getting more and more outlandish that it started getting the attention of other people in the studio, especially the top execs. And that's when they saw the potential that this could be really good. People loved Toy Story so much that they realized that they didn't want to just make crappier versions connected to Toy Story. They really wanted to make this brand strong. And that's when they put more effort, they put more energy into it and said, we're going to release this into it as a film, which was so exciting. Because now I'm working on a film that I've been working in development and with the writers and the story team and everything.
So now that you're in the writer's room, the cool thing about being in that room is you have all these just aha, amazing moments and you have it as a team. But the other side is, of course, there's so many challenges you have to overcome.
There's been many moments where we're stuck for months trying to end up figuring out, you know, that one moment in the story that everything is hinging on, but nobody can figure it out. And one of those moments later on, when I worked on Finding Nemo, was we just couldn't figure out how is Nemo going to escape from a fish tank? How is this? Remember, he's in the dentist's office. He's with those other fish, you know, that are in there. How is he going to escape? And we had thought of many different things, but it reached a point where the director, Andrew Stanton, was like, all right, story team, we're all getting in a room and we're not leaving here today till we figure this out. And when you get into a writer's room like this, it's like a blend of improv and writing and story structure. And basically you are just throwing up any idea up on the wall to be able to see what's going to stick. And I remember in there, as I'm blurting out ideas, one of them was, if I was a fish in an aquarium, you know what I would do is I would get everybody in the aquarium to just be as messy as possible. Get all of the sides of the aquarium just covered with algae and grossness.
Look at that. Would you look at that? Filthy. Absolutely filthy.
So we would have to be put in baggies, taken out of the little fish tank, and then we could just roll in our bags like hamsters in a ball across the table, out the window, across the street, and then we're in the ocean. And as I pitched that, and everyone's like, all right, that's good. And then I kind of did a, but then how would we get out of the baggies once we're in the ocean? And then the director was like, and that's what we're going to put at the end of the film, is all those fish popping up in their baggies. And they, what do we do now?
Now what?
So a lot of times you just need to let this part of your mind just throw out as many what ifs as possible without having too many limitations and just see where it takes you.
What an incredible moment. Oh my God. Are there any other ways that you guys have or methods for reinjecting that creative mojo when things just aren't landing?
When you're focusing so much on trying to solve a problem, do something else for a while and let all of those problems that you're trying to figure out just rest and do something fun. And I'm telling you, it always works for me. I end up having that aha moment in the middle of, you know, making dinner or going for a walk or something. There comes a point where you feel you're burnt out or you're stuck, where you just need to let things lie dormant for a little bit. We tend to forget about this as creative people, that everything else in nature takes moments to go dormant. Trees and, you know, that bear fruit and stuff, they need to take a rest. You've got to let your your brain go dormant for a little bit, and it'll come to you.
Sully, Miguel, Mr. Incredible, Nemo, Pixar's extensive roster of characters instantly captures the attention of children. But for adults, these characters' stories take an unsuspecting back road. They disarm us, working their way around our guards, unzipping our intellectual and emotional armor. We see our own human struggles in A Clownfish with a Lucky Fin, or a talking race car, or an aging cowboy doll fighting to stay relevant in the eyes of the boy he loves. We're afforded the rare opportunity presented by stories that make us feel something. We get to go spelunking in the forgotten caves of our mind, where buried dreams and fractured relationships and neglected thoughts mask themselves in shadows. Because of a group of storytellers, we as viewers can unsheath our flashlights and begin the process of rediscovering ourselves. To learn more about Matthew and to purchase his book, The Best Story Wins, How to Leverage Hollywood Storytelling in Business and Beyond, visit MatthewLundStory.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, email me at curious@quickanddirtytips.com. If you prefer talking over typing, leave me a voicemail at 757-541-8471. For more information about the show and where you can find us across the internet, check out our show notes or visit quickanddirtytips.com. Special thanks to the Quick and Dirty Tips team, Adam Cecil, our audience development and podcast manager, Morgan Christensen, podcast and advertising operations specialist, Holly Hutchings, our digital operations specialist, Davina Tomlin, marketing and publicity assistant, and our trusty intern, Brendan Pika. Curious State is hosted and produced by me, Doug Fraser, for the Quick and Dirty Tips Network, which is a division of Macmillan Publishers, in partnership with Mignon Fogarty, Inc. Until next time, stay curious.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.